Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Such a powerful passage of Scripture, but I want to give you some review. The first thing we need to review are the four kings I mentioned to you in the introduction. I hope you're reading your Bible. I hope you're reading ahead of time. I hope you watch the introduction. If you haven't been with us, we've been through every chapter of Isaiah thus far. My father preached on the holy hedge from Isaiah chapter 5. And sometimes God removes the hedge, amen, when we are disobedient and we do not honor that which He's called us to do. And it talks about how He gave the people of Judah, the people of Israel, everything they needed to be prosperous and successful, and they still produce sour grapes. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like that could be our testimony, amen. God gives us everything that He has for us to be successful and for us to walk in the fullness of Christ, and we still produce sour grapes, amen. And that was the situation that they were in. And God removes the hedge of protection, and they face difficulties and punishment. And then they're about to suffer loss. They're about to lose their king. And there were four kings during Isaiah's reign. And the first one is Uzziah, also referred to sometimes as Azariah. And as I said before in week one, pioneers have great success, but sometimes go through things so that others won't have to go through them. King Uzziah was a pioneer. He was crowned at age 16 and he reigned 52 years. He was successful and lived a righteous life. He defeated the Philistines. He extended Judah's reign. He did so many positive things. Zacharias spoke into his life early on and God was really on him. But when he gets to the end of his life, he struggles and suffers with a sin that many of us have been tempted to struggle with, and that sin is pride. Pride. He got out of his gifting. God called him to be a king and he wanted to be a priest. Now in the new covenant, a king is a successful businessman or a leader in the church, businessman or woman, and a priest is a preacher, a spiritual leader like myself. Okay, that's the new covenant version. But in the old covenant, you had kings and priests. Is everybody with me tonight? Okay, and so he was a king, a successful king. But he got to thinking it was all about him. And he ventured over into the priesthood and thought he could do what they did. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but I've seen a lot of people over the years who were called to be kings think they're priests. First of all, why on earth anybody would want to do this unless your call's beyond me? My daddy used to tell me, son, I'd rather you have pneumonia in both lungs than do this. Now, I tell my son, Reed, I'd rather you have pneumonia in both lungs but to do this, but he feels called to do it as well. He's going with me to preach this weekend. I'm excited to have my son with me. But I'm telling you, there are people who feel like because they run a successful business or have a large amount of money that they can just step right into this with their business knowledge and be a successful pastor. But I've got news for you. If you ain't called to do this, God's not going to bless it. You got to be called to do it, and God blesses who He wants to bless. And God uses the least, the last, and the unlikely, not the one that has it all figured out. Now, in the kingdom, especially in the business world, you get your education, you have a gifting in sales, or whatever market you're in, you will be blessed in that. But if you get out of your anointing and try to be something that God has not called you to be, it brings a curse. And in the case of Uzziah, God cursed him with leprosy, and his life, although it was successful, ended in shame. He died of leprosy. But he was revered and loved by the people. So his son takes the reins, and his son Jotham continues the success of his father, but his son never had the influence or the love that his father had from the people. But he did some extraordinary things. He honored the temple. He did a number of things that we should revere and we should honor, but he never quite had the influence that his father had, but he learned from his father's mistakes. And then there was Ahaz, and then there was Hezekiah, okay? We've went through all of those in the previous weeks. Go back and listen to the podcast. But God's removed the hedge. Israel is being devastated. They are going through great difficulty, and then King Uzziah dies. At this particular moment, Isaiah's life shifted from prophetic ministry to personal experience. Sometimes your ministry needs to shift from your gifting into personal experience. I can preach to you about the Holy Ghost all day long, but if you've never received Him, you're not going to understand what I'm talking about. I can preach to you about God's grace all day long, but if you've never blown it and been at the bottom, you won't know a thing about the grace I'm preaching to you about. I can preach to you about the unfailing love of God all night long, but unless you've ever walked in inferiority or felt rejected or abandoned and needed that loving embrace from Abba Father, you won't understand what I'm talking about. I can release prophetic words into the atmosphere all night long tonight, but if it never becomes a reality in my own life and I truly am just teaching this stuff and I haven't experienced it, then my ministry is going to fall short of that which God has called me to do. And I don't want you to fall short in that which God has called you to do. God's got a perfect plan for your life. God wants to use you wherever you are. There are people you can reach that I can't reach. There are things you can do that I can't do. God has you strategically positioned to minister to people in your area, in your region, in your marketplace, in your job, in your family. That is your crowd. Somebody say, that's my peeps. Some of y'all don't even know what that means. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. I'm bringing y'all up to speed here. But you have to shift from prophetic ministry to personal experience, and that's what happens when King Uzziah dies. He was revered by Isaiah. Isaiah respected him because even though he allowed pride to get in his way and he went into the priesthood and he was cursed with leprosy, he did a number of honorable things and he did have an ear for the prophets. And so Isaiah pens these words: in the year that King Uzziah died, his cousin that he loved, that he revered, that he had the ability to speak into, when he died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah saw Jesus. Isaiah saw a picture of God in his holiness, in his fulfillment. Every attribute, every aspect of God he saw in this vision. You know, it's interesting, it sometimes takes death for us to really see God for who He is. Sometimes it's during the difficult times of loss where we see God in all His fullness. We may not like Him at the moment, we may not understand His ways at the moment, but we see God, we press in because we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know how we're going to make it without this person. And suddenly God shows up. Above it stood seraphim, which is angels. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, is the Lord of hosts." I believe it was said three times because it represented the deity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Holy, 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 because he saw God in his true form, who he was, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me," which in Hebrew is a curse. He's basically cursing himself, "for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." Can I stop here and say this to you without sounding like a jerk? Lord, help me. But here's the situation. If you have an experience with God and you come out of that experience telling everybody else how unholy they were, I don't think you've had the same experience with God that I've had. Because when you have an experience with God, what should come out of that is you should say, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." An experience with God never ends up with you judging others. It causes you to realize how unholy and unworthy you are, and it causes you to want to clean you up, not clean everybody else up. And that's precisely what happens. to Isaiah. He gets in the Holy of Holies. He gets with God. He gets with God. And he says, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I mean, here's a prophet that God used mightily. He foretold the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He predicted everything. Hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, and he still feels unworthy and unholy in the presence of the Lord. I'm telling you, if he could feel unworthy, we all ought to feel unworthy. When we get in the presence of God, we first need to clean ourselves up. Then we need to renew our calling. Then we need to start walking that calling out. Because when you get in the Holy of Holies, the first thing God will do is clean you up. Then he'll give you strength and he'll renew you. Then he'll give you the power to walk out that which he's called you to do. It's a process. Somebody say it's a process. Say, don't mess with me, I'm in process. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. And I've taught you this many times. Iniquity is much worse than sin. Sin's to miss the mark. Trespass is to cross the line. Transgress is to hurt the heart of God. And iniquity means you're eat up with it. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then he said, here I am, Lord, send me. And he said, go and tell the people. God's glory is the active presence in the full reality of his deity. Say that again. God's glory is the active presence in the full reality of his deity. God's grace is God acting in and of himself on your behalf. And so you must understand, when you get in God's glory, you get all of God. His grace is something you need. His glory is something that will overtake you, man. And it's where things shift and change in God's glory. Sometimes things don't change when you hear a message. Sometimes things don't change when you sing another song. Sometimes things don't change when you quote scripture, as much as that hurts Baptist feelings. But things change when you get in the glory of God. When you get in his glory and you realize how unworthy and unholy you are, it'll cause you to shift. Somebody say amen. And then he gives them specific things to tell the people. He says, make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant. The houses are without a man. The land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away. And it goes on. It says, whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump. Isaiah walked in a degree of honor that most people don't walk in. Uzziah didn't have everything together at the end of his life. He fell into pride, but this prophet still honored him. You see, I think one of the things missing in the kingdom of God and in the church, and definitely in the United States of America, is honor. We don't honor our school teachers. We don't honor our coaches. We don't honor our Supreme Court justices, our nominees at least. We don't honor our political system. We certainly don't honor pastors. We don't honor our police officers. We don't honor our firemen. We don't honor anyone anymore. And honor is the currency of heaven. Honor gives you access. God has privileged me to meet a lot of great people and to have relationships with people. As a child, I never thought I'd have relationships with them. But I live really by one principle. I don't really care what you look like, how much money you have, or how many albums you've sold. I try to treat everybody with honor. Unless they give me a reason not to, and I still try to treat them with honor. But we're to honor people. Proof of honor is adaptation. You adapt to what you honor. So, it didn't bother Isaiah that King Uzziah died. He honored him. He loved him. He was his cousin. He was the king. But Isaiah was going to walk in that same manner of honor regardless of who was king. Because let me tell you something, regardless of who's in authority over you in this world, Jesus is still on the throne. And that's what Isaiah 6 is all about. Doesn't matter if you're dead or alive, God's still on the throne. Doesn't matter who sits in the White House, God's still on the throne. It doesn't matter what people have said about you, God is still on the throne. It doesn't matter what you've been through, God is still on the throne. And He is a righteous judge. Jesus is our lawyer. The blood testifies for us. And when you need God, He will come to your aid and will avenge you from the accuser. The enemy wants to falsely accuse you, keep you from being all that God has called you to be. But you can finish and will finish because of the blood of Jesus. There are two parables in Matthew that I'm not going to preach through tonight. The first one, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought the whole field." That parable has always intrigued me. The kingdom of heaven, which was the message that Jesus preached, He says, is like a treasure hidden in a field. Like a treasure hidden in a field. You know that some people may look at you and see dirt, but there's treasure on the inside of you. You know, gold excavators will move a ton of dirt to find an ounce of gold. And you know what? Preachers spend their whole lives hoping you don't find their dirt. Just trying to show you their gold. But the truth is, we've got dirt. And so do you. Everybody's got dirt. But as Christians, we're to find the gold in people. And the kingdom is about finding the gold in people. And that's why I've preached till my head's about to explode about prodigals and reaching people and loving people and accepting people, because I believe they're gold mines of people in this city that need a touch from God. They're like a gold mine that hadn't been mined. We just got to move the dirt to get to it. We've got to move the dirt to get to it. And also in Matthew chapter 9, talks about new wine in old wineskins. Wine was stored in animal skins. The animal was cleaned on the inside and olive oil was rubbed on the outside. Then after the cleansing process, the new wine was poured and stored. The skin was turned and the fermentation stretched the skin. I've preached to you about this before. You cannot put new wine into old wineskins. And I'm telling you, if we're going to embrace the kingdom and we're going to find that treasure in the field, we've got to think in a new way. We've got to try new strategies. We've got to release new sounds. Amen? We've got to have a relevant and current personal experience with God like Isaiah had. He was a mighty prophet. He had a pedigree. He predicted everything, but he still needed an experience with God that was his. Do you understand that the most important thing that can happen in your life is for you to have a moment with God that no one can take away from you? That's what you need. That's what I'm praying for God to do. And He may do it here tonight for you. He may already be doing it. He may have already done it. But I'm telling you, you got to believe that God will give you fresh revelation during times of loss and difficulty. You must receive the upward call. I call it the upward call of renewal, because I believe a fresh experience brings fresh revelation. And it starts with the upward call. The upward call of God is available during the most difficult of seasons. So if you're going through a difficult season right now, raise your hand. Many of you. This is when God wants to give you fresh revelation. This is when God is going to reveal himself to you like he never has before. This is when you're going to feel the presence of angels by your side. You're going to understand that God is with you, that he'll never leave you or never forsake you. You've got to receive it and believe God. Ask him to show up to you in your night visions, in your dreams. Ask God to reveal himself to you in a fresh way. See, some of you have God in a box. And that box could be your denomination and how you were raised. It could be in your own set of values. And many of us try to put God in our box. But if you're going to receive fresh revelation from God, you've got to allow him to break your box down. And he may reveal himself to you in a number of different ways. I mean, he spoke through a jackass in the Bible. And I'm telling you tonight, God will speak to you. I just feel strong in my spirit right now that God's wanting to speak to some of you in dreams. And you know, I don't flow like this every time I preach. But I really feel like God is going to speak to some of you in your dreams. There are some things you've been praying about, and God's going to give you some revelation in your dreams. And things that have been out of alignment or that haven't made sense to you, they're going to start to make sense. I feel like that. If you receive that, say amen. Amen. The spirit of renewal and the upward call is for those who aren't scared to go where they've never been before. Isaiah was willing to go beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies. He could have been struck dead when he had this vision. Somebody with me. If you're going to receive the upward call, if your spirit's going to be renewed, if you're going to have a relevant, fresh experience with God, you've got to go where you've never been before. You got to do something that's uncomfortable. I got Dave in here. I'm going to pick on him again. He's raised Catholic. Of course, he was saved here. His brother was saved here. And his brother was like, I'll get saved, but I'm not getting baptized. And he still stuck to his guns on that. All the way in New Jersey. Well, Dave took him marrying a godly girl and me, teaming up on him, but we baptized him here at Abba's house. So funny. And but I'm telling you, my theology tells me you don't have to be baptized to get to heaven. It's an act of obedience. That's the way I believe. I can prove it to you. We can fight later if you want on that. So it's not necessary, it wasn't necessary that he do that to get to heaven. It was an act of obedience to the word of God. But what I remember how uncomfortable he was doing that. He wasn't raised in that. It was completely out of the box for him to be immersed into water. But he did it. And I'm telling you, and I think he would agree with me, that his life has shifted. Am I lying, Dave? His life, from everything, from his job, his daughter, everything has shifted since that day. And I'm telling you, sometimes if you're going to receive from God something new, you got to do something you've never done before. It may feel weird. May be against your religion, but you've got to do something you've never done before. And God will show up in a powerful way. Isaiah risked it all by faith. And sometimes you've got to take a risk if you're going to see God move like he's never moved before. The upward call comes. The spirit of renewal comes when the glory drops. He cried out and said, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is filled with his glory. When his glory drops, the full deity of God on display, when it drops, the heavens open, and you'll receive information from the courts of heaven that you've never received before. There are things in heaven assigned to your name that you will never receive on earth unless you're in the midst of his glory. His glory is what unlocks your stuff. God's glory will unlock your stuff. your information, your plan, your purpose, whatever it may be, God's glory will unlock your stuff. There are things that you've prayed for, you've been asking God for, and you're like, God, why haven't you answered my prayers? And God's saying, get in my glory, and I'm going to unlock some things for you. I'm going to show you just a glimpse into my mind's eye, into my perfect plan for you to understand. All that happens in the midst of his glory. The upward call is made manifest when people get right with God and one another. Repentance comes when we're honest, open, and transparent with one another. It comes when we make a choice to wipe the slate clean and act like Christ followers. Renewal is not fake and does not go through the motions. If you want to receive the upward call and fresh revelation from God, you need to be right with God. That was the first thing Isaiah took care of. Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Next thing, you got to be right with other people. If we want revival in this church, you want revival in your home, and everybody hates each other, you ain't going to have revival. I tell this story all the time, and I only have a few minutes left, and I'll start to wrap this up tonight. We'll let the glory drop again. How about that? I see Miss Betty Martin back here. She was on the pulpit committee that called my dad to this church in 1979. It's a long time ago, wasn't it? Betty's only 60. Math doesn't even add up, Betty. The funny thing, my dad was pastoring a little church in Alabama, and so the church took a van to this church to hear my father preach, and there was so much turmoil going on at the church. There were so many people fighting that were mad at each other. When they got there, Dad didn't preach because the Holy Spirit broke out in this little Baptist church, and people started forgiving one another and getting right with one another, and he didn't even get to preach. They had to drive back, didn't you, Betty, to hear him a second time. But they were spiritual enough, even in 1979, to realize atmosphere and realize glory and realize there was something on this man that's going to bring renewal. Because they were in the midst of controversy here. The church was split in half. And they needed renewal. They needed a fresh vision. They needed something to shift for this place. And it did by the grace of God. And we stand here today as a testimony to those people. But the upward call and the spirit of renewal, the shift, the personal experience you need comes when you get right with God and get right with one another. Isaiah saw the King of Glory. His life was never the same. His revelation changed. His experience changed. His obedience changed. Everything about him changed. His boldness changed. Renewal is about removing the bad out of your life. Now, I know everybody's got dirt, but everybody's got gold too. And we need to find the gold in people. And young people, we need to tell them they've got gold, because they've been told their whole life they're dirt and that they don't matter. And I'm telling you, when we choose to find the gold in people, the kingdom of God will come. The Lord of glory will reveal himself to us in a fresh way, and God will do things that he's never done before. Hebrews says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I close here. The upward call, the fresh perspective, fresh revelation, personal experience, whatever you want to call it, I call it the upward call, gives you the ability to believe, receive, and achieve greatness. When you have that experience with God, you'll be able to believe for yourself and believe for other people. You'll believe that God can use you. You'll believe that God will forgive you. You'll believe that you can achieve greatness. You won't believe the lies any longer. Why? Because you've had an experience with the Lord. You've entered into the courts of heaven, and Jesus, your lawyer, has ruled on your behalf. You've had an experience with God in the fullness of his deity. So what am I challenging you to do as we close tonight? Have an experience with Yahweh, with Yeshua, with Jesus. Let God do something fresh in your life. Don't make your experience with God contingent on style or location. God will touch you anywhere, man. He touched me on a tile bathroom floor with urine stains on it. I'm serious. God will touch you anywhere. He touched the prodigal in the pig pen. Touch a lame man by the pool of Bethesda who was making excuses why he couldn't get healed. Change water to wine for a humble Galilean family. God will show up anywhere you believe he'll show up. He'll show up at Walmart. Somebody say amen. I hope he shows up Saturday for Florida State and we beat Miami. Glory to God. I don't think we've got a shot, but I know how to pray. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Bow your head and close your eyes. I want us to go back into that, Sam, if we could. I know you got your baby girl. She's beautiful. I feel guilty for taking her out of your arms. I know it's nap time. But I just want to go just for a few minutes. I'm going to have you stand on your feet with me and close your eyes. And I just want you to try something. This will be easy for some of you, hard for others. I want you just to lift your hands up like this with your palms out. If you can't lift them all the way, if you've got shoulder problems, whatever, just do them like this in a place where you can receive from God. And as we sing this together, I'm going to pray down the Holy Spirit on your life to renew you, to give you fresh revelation and perspective and power. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to honor that tonight. Why? Because there's a sweet spirit in here, because you're thirsty, because you're hungry. Whatever it is you need. Some of you have health problems. Some of you have financial problems. Some of you want a better job. Some of you are overcoming family difficulties. Some of you, your marriage is in the tanks. Some of you, your dirt's got the best of you, but your gold is starting to shine, to glitter again and to shine. Whatever it is, I want you to give it to the Father tonight and ask God to move on your behalf. The blood cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ died for you to live free and fully alive, and not to live like a failure, and not to let the dirt consume you. There's gold inside of you. Heavenly Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit, your power to come. Lord, there's repentance in the room. People are repenting. They're getting right with you, Father. Your word says if they confess their sins, you'll be faithful and just to forgive their sins. So, Lord, you've forgiven them. Lord, we ask you to unlock our documents from the courts of heaven. Give us your wisdom into your mind. Tell us what to do, how to fix it. Give us the words to say to restore it. Heal our bodies, heal our minds. Holy Ghost, do what only you can do. Fill us up with power. Fill us up with joy. Lord, we don't want the hedge to be removed. We want to be covered by your hedge of protection. Rock, thorns, angels, we need your protection, Father. So, Lord, I ask you to protect this house, protect these people. Fill them with the Holy Ghost.